that Brother Mike announced, my sermon title this morning is simply that of the Judgment Day. And in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, the Hebrew writer here tells us this: as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Now, next to the Bible, our song books are perhaps the greatest repository of truth that we have. Someday you'll stand at the bar on high. Someday your record will see. Someday you'll answer the question of life: what will your answer be? Sadly, you'll stand, if you're unprepared, trembling. You'll fall on your knees facing the sentence of life or death: what will the sentence be? That's a song out of our song books on page 744. And the title is, "What Will Your Answer Be?" There are many in the world today, and I am sadly to say there's probably a few within the body of Christ also, that do not believe in the judgment. Therefore, they take no notice of the fact that the writer in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, basically tells us that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Did you know that perhaps 85% of the New Testament books specifically address or allude to the Day of Judgment? Did you also know that every New Testament writer wrote about or alluded to the Day of Judgment? Now, this verse here, Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. That word appointed literally is reserved. And as it is reserved unto men to die. In other words, I think what the author here is telling us is that there's going to come a time in your life that you're going to die. If we truly understand the importance of that fact, that we have a date to which this life will end. There's not a person here that does not believe that. Am I right? Everyone here, and there are those that are here that's closer to that day than others. But you know the sad thing is? We don't know when that day is going to come. It could be that someone here today may not make it through the day or the night. That's why I think it's important for us to understand that here, and as it is reserved, it's like, you know, you call a restaurant making a reservation. That way the restaurant will set aside a time and a table, so when you get there, you don't have to stand in line and wait. The same is true for us in our daily physical lives. One day there is reserved for us a date that we will die. Now, if we believe that, and like I said, I know everyone here does. Everyone here truly believes that one day they will pass from this life. Then why and how can we say that the judgment is not going to happen? In Psalms chapter 7, verse 11, God judges the righteous. And God is angry with the wicked every day. You know, that's not me saying that. That's the writer here in Psalms chapter 7, verse 11. The writer here straight out proclaims that God judges the righteous. And God is angry with the wicked every day. So, if God is wicked with the wicked, if God is angry with the wicked every day, is he going to be wicked? Is he going to be angry with the wicked on the day of judgment? I believe so. The reality of judgment is just as true as the reality of our death. We are not going to escape the judgment. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 27, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment, the fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. So the question is this, how many are going to be judged? That's a fair question. How many is going to be judged? No one's going to get a pass. And I think we all understand that. You know, it's not like getting a hall pass when you were in school. You remember those? You had to have a pass to be out of class. There's not going to be a pass given out on the day of judgment. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. All will be judged. And like I said, there will not be a pass to get out of it. You know, and it's sad. There's many in the world today, and I'm sad to say that perhaps even in the Lord's church, who believe that once a person dies, that that's it. They cease to exist. There's no heaven and there's no hell. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches us, and it is reserved or appointed unto men once to die, but after this to judgment. And then it says, but it is a fearful thing to looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. It's a fearful thing. But you know, many people, they don't fear the judgment because they don't believe it. So we have to ask ourselves, do we believe what the Bible teaches? Do we believe what the Hebrew writer here is saying? Do we believe what John the Apostle is saying here, that he saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life? And then Paul writes in 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 and 11. Paul writes there, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in the body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, Hebrews 10:27, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are all manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. Now, look at this first part of verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Here's a math question. If you have five apples and you give away five apples, how many do you have? None. Because you did what? You gave all of them away. So when we look at this, for we must all appear. And as it is appointed or reserved unto men once to die, after this, the judgment. It says that we are reserved unto, that men are reserved to die once and then the judgment. How many are going to get out of it? How many are going to get out of judgment? You know, Paul says here that we're going to all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. All men, everywhere, is going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. It's an appointment. The reservation has been made. So let's ask this question. If all are going to be judged, if all are going to be standing before the judgment seat of Christ, how will we be judged? Have you ever thought about asking that question? How will we be judged? Revelation, again, chapter 20, in the latter part of verse 12. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Brothers and sisters, we're going to be judged by what we do or don't do. But you know, that's not the only thing. We're going to be judged out of the book, the things that were written that we've done and what we haven't done. Our deeds will follow us. Again, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. All must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body. That pretty much sounds like the works to me, doesn't it? Receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. I don't know about you, but for some, that's going to be very frightening because of the evil that they've done. The sinfulness, the unforgiven sinfulness that they've done. Then Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 17. And if you call on the Father who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning in fear. Brothers and sisters, if we're going to be judged by our deeds, should we not make sure that we are doing righteous deeds, good deeds? all going to be judged, we've looked at. And how we will be judged, we just looked at. Our works, our deeds will follow us to the judgment day. So let's ask the third question. Who will be the judge? Who's going to judge us on the day of judgment? Well, John tells us in John chapter 12 and verse 48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Whose word will judge us? The words of Jesus is going to judge us. Okay? We're going to be judged by our deeds, but the one who's going to be doing the judging is Jesus Christ himself. His word is going to judge us. And then in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Jesus will be the judge. His words will judge us. God will judge us. And we know that Christ and God is one and the same. And you know what's even scarier? It's what Matthew writes in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 and 37. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Does that scare you? But I say unto you that every idle word that men speak, brothers and sisters, please understand, this is not talking about having conversations with one another. This is literally speaking of useless words, careless words. You know, when someone perhaps comes to us to find an answer, and maybe we refuse to bring up the subject of salvation, when we know we should be perhaps sharing the gospel, but yet we don't, maybe. Careless words, useless words, or words that simply have no use in a Christian's life. So who will be the judge? Jesus, his words, God, our words. But all three of these statements, I think, is harmonized in Romans chapter 2 and verse 16. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men, oh, we looked at that, didn't we? That on the day of judgment, all our secrets will be revealed. by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. So we have God, the secrets of men, our words, and Jesus Christ by his gospel, the word. And finally, have you ever thought about how final God's judgment will be? Have you thought about how final God's judgment will be? You know, under our judicial system today, it allows for the process of appeals to a higher court. You know, someone is perhaps convicted in a county court or a city court. They can appeal that to the next court, next higher court. And in some cases, all the way to the Supreme Court. But you know what? As far as my understanding, there is no appellate system in God's judicial system. There is no appellate system with God, for it is unnecessary, for there is no higher court than his rulings, because his rulings are final. A good example of this is the parable of Lazarus and the rich man. Lazarus wanted to appeal, and it was denied because God's judgment is final. There's not going to be a second chance, as some proclaim and teach today. No one can stand under the scrutiny of God's judgment. You know why? Do you know why no one can stand under the scrutiny of God's judgment? Paul very plainly tells us, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then he says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It is through Christ and Christ alone that we can stand before the judgment seat of God, justified, sanctified by his blood. Without that blood, we're lost and without hope. The good news is this. I'm going to leave you with this. In John chapter 2, verse 22, this is the good news, brothers and sisters. And for those that are here that may not be a Christian. And he is the propitiation for our sins. He is our atonement. He is our appeasement. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Brothers and sisters, there is a great day coming. Have we prepared ourselves for that day? The reservation has been made. In one day, we will stand before the judgment seat of God. Are you ready? If you're here this morning, you're not a Christian. As John tells us that Jesus is the propitiation, the atonement for our sins. If you wish to be baptized and have your sins washed away, would you come? Or if you're here and already a child of God, perhaps see that perhaps you're not ready and you would like the prayers of the saints, would you come also? We stand and sing the song of invitation. God.